Hey everybody, welcome back to I've Got a Bad Feeling About This. This is take two, because
You have to tell them that.
I know, but I feel like we should have a full disclosure like
No
relationship
disclosure.
with our
This
audience.
is actually take 1.5.
Yeah, we got about 10 minutes into a recording and my mic wasn't working and Omari's mic was making some noise as if he were in a wind tunnel.
Okay, everybody made mistakes.
Everybody made mistakes except for Chuck. Look how perfect Chuck is. Everybody give it up for Chuck. Let's clap. Anyways, a little bit of a spoiler, but Omari's back. Woo!
Yay!
We are talking about The Bad Batch episodes 1 and 2. I'm already feeling better about this take to begin with.
Yeah, let's do this.
Okay. Bad Batch, if you guys don't know, this is a series that follows up the Clone Wars directly. It takes place pretty much exactly where Clone Wars episode 7 ended off. Season 7, I should say. Ended off, apart from that flash forward with Vader at the very, very, very end. So we got the good squad of Wrecker, I almost said Alpha, Wrecker, Hunter, Echo, Tech, and Crosshair. So we got those, four young gentlemen, five young gentlemen. Who are doing their best to serve the Republic, and all of a sudden it gets turned on its head because the Republic becomes the Empire. So, episode 1 features some pretty cool cameos. We're just gonna buzz through like a synopsis of the episode. Not even a synopsis, these are just my notes, and if anyone else wants to jump in. Episode 1 features some pretty cool cameos of Saw Gerrera and Caleb Doom, also known as Kanan Jarrus, and also Depa Balaba introduces the new character of Omega and kind of gives us a hint as this series' main villains are going to be. Here's your last spoiler warning. Looks like they're setting up Admiral Tarkin and Crosshair to at least be the first arc villain. So, yeah, we have a little bit of a brother on brother betrayal, which will be kind of sad. And it was sad to begin with. So, the first episode was 1 hour long, and I felt that dragged a little bit. Because they're really only in combat for two big
I
scenes.
really felt like it was perfect for what they were trying to do, you know? And they were able to put in everything they wanted to, because I would have felt like questionable if they didn't include every scene that they included, you know? I liked how it all played out from seeing them when Order 66 is first activated, when they first go back, how they're tested because it didn't work, and then the whole thing with like Crosshair, like I felt like it all flowed perfectly to me. Yeah, Bennett.
And the different story beats that they had throughout the episode were pretty general for a Clone Wars episode as well. Like just the idea of following orders, what's the point of all this? But I felt like it did it in a way that was a little more grounded in like some darker themes in the Clone Wars really ever get into, even though the dark like Clone Wars definitely has some of those present. But I feel like the Bad Batch goes a little deeper into them. But I don't know if I can reconcile the length of the episode with that.
I mean, I have been getting used to watching hour-long cartoons with Invincible, so that also could be that.
Chuck, how did you feel about the length of the episode?
Had no problem with it. I was pleasantly, I don't know if it was announced that it was going to be an hour when before we knew about it. It might have been, I don't know, I don't remember. But I didn't have any problem with the length, though.
That's fair. I mean, I feel like there's a lot of this is going to be me being
Bennett hates
I
clones.
don't hate clones. Hey, literally listen to the last episode and you'll know that I don't hate clones. Like, I don't necessarily like them being the focal point of a series. And honestly, I like some clones. I like Rex a whole bunch. I like some of the other side clones a little bit, a whole bunch. I love Fives. May he rest in peace. Rest tight, sweet prince. I liked Fox too, but Fox killed Fives. That kind of spoiled him for me. I was like, oh shucks, that's my favorite character. There's one of my favorite clones kill my other favorite clone. But my main gripe with the show comes with really like what happens when Clone Force 99 are not fighting. Like the way they interact with each other is just not enjoyable to me. It just feels like they're so stereotypical characters, especially Hunter, which is weird because Hunter is becoming my favorite, slowly but surely. Echo is my favorite originally, but like to have him kind of take on more of a mature role in the group instead of just being like this silly Rambo clone is fun to watch. It's enjoyable to watch.
And, didn't you say that his arm was stupid? Not
Hunter, Echo's but... arm is stupid. Wow. Yeah, listen, they have such cool things they can do in Star Wars with like missing limbs, and they just give him a droid probe? Come on.
I mean, he is just a clone.
Yeah, who cares? Wrecker's giant. They made him big and huge and strong.
How does that relate to missing limbs, though?
Because if they can make somebody huge, big, strong, just give him a better hand.
A better hand. You want him to have the Anakin Skywalker robot hand?
Yeah. Anyways, I digress.
Bennett's gripe with robot hand.
I digress about the hand. I thought that if it was the characters who were out of combat were just a little more likable, I would greatly appreciate that story beat. Now, here's another thing I want to talk really quick about. The inclusion of Tarkin was pretty big for me. I like him. I think he's a good villain. How did you feel about it, Chuck?
I would agree with you there. Okay, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't know how much we see of him as bad Tarkin outside of, you know, the original movies. You know, I don't see how much, I don't know, remember if we see him too much like that. I think he's voiced by Stephen Stanton in this rendition, but I think it's an interesting addition and in storyline to go into. And are we going to stay on episode one for right now?
Yeah, just for right now.
Okay, yeah. But I think he's going to be the guy that's going to be more of the long-term, the overall big bad of this series, as opposed to somebody else that we'll get to.
Well, Crosshair. That happens at the end of episode one.
Yeah, I think Tarkin's more of the guy that we're going to look at. I'm really interested to see whether or not Crosshair stays bad for a long period of time or there's some sort of redemption. I'm not leaning a certain way. I'm kind of neutral on that, and I'm interested to see how that goes. In our first take, Omari had a specific way that Crosshair dies.
Yes.
I think it's important that this is put out there so it doesn't like die in the recording that doesn't come out.
Basically just saying that I feel like it's going to be very obvious how it plays out. I see Crosshair overcoming his mind control chip or something like that and making a sacrifice play to save them. It's going to involve him shooting something and being clever like that. And that's just how it's going to play out. Like, he's going to sacrifice himself to save everybody.
I feel like the knife maneuver is going to come back into play. Like,
what, Hunter's knife?
Yeah.
Oh, the way the knife got shot.
Yeah, they threw the knife up in the air and it got shot. I thought that was a friggin' badass move. Like, that was one of the notes I took down. I was like, that knife trick was pretty tight. Like, I really enjoyed that. I think Crosshair is actually kind of an annoying villain. I liked him when he was like the sarcastic member of the group, because I thought that was funny. It kind of relieved like the weird hyper seriousness that the Bad Batch presented when they were first introduced. You remember that? Where they were like, all these rags don't know what's going on.
Oh, yeah.
I'm Hunter. And then Crosshair was like, I don't really care about anything. I'm just a sniper, I guess. Just
angry and
I'm just
to himself.
Angry sniper man, I guess. I thought that was cool. I liked that. I
think it's interesting you say hyper, like serious, and then I think about
Wrecker.
Your favorite character in Wrecker, very hyper serious.
Yeah, he's the only one. Oh, I hate him. I hate him so much.
I know what you're getting for your birthday.
The Wrecker Funko Pop.
Yes, just sir. All the Wrecker merchandise.
And as we crawl through this episode again, nice. We got introduction to Saw Gerrera, which I thought was interesting. He is a pretty huge character in Star Wars mythology. All of a sudden, they introduced him in Clone Wars, you know, with the Rebels of Onderon, and they ran with him in Rogue One, which I thought was an interesting choice for that to be the crossover character. And then he's in Bad Batch. I don't think he'll come back. That felt like a very one-off appearance. God, what is up with me? Appearance.
I kind of gotta disagree. You know, I feel like they're gonna find like a purpose or somewhere to go. Like maybe not this season, but possibly like in the end, where it's like, all right, like what do we do now? Like we're still soldiers. You know, we don't really know much outside of that. Yeah, I know in Rebels we see like Rex and a few clones retire, but I don't know if that's gonna be the same for the Bad Batch. You know, I feel like they might feel like
okay,
revenge, sort of like on the Empire for what they did across here. Like they might take that personal.
So along the lines of the end of the series, and we talked about this in our first take, so please excuse if it sounds like a little scripted. We think, I personally think, and we can reiterate this, I don't think everybody makes it out of this show alive in terms of the Bad Batch. I think here's who I think is safe. I think Wrecker and Tech are safe because I don't think either of them are worth killing. They just wouldn't have the emotional weight. It wouldn't be like Carly Morgenthau once said, I'm not going to kill you because you're not important. And I got to agree with our good Flag Smasher. She's right. I wouldn't kill him. I wouldn't kill Tech. Why would I kill Tech when I could kill Hunter and like make everybody be like, no, Hunter.
Omega.
My friend's dead. My name's Omega.
We don't know what she does yet, but
yeah. Well, we know something's up with her.
Yep.
But I just think...
I like your theory from the first recording.
Well, okay, so my theory about Omega is... So we know that each of the clones has a defection that makes them stronger than the average clone. I'm thinking Omega is like a Force-sensitive clone.
It wouldn't be Star Wars without
it wouldn't be Star Wars unless you included the Force somehow. And I think she was created to be like a really dangerous weapon, and the way they handicapped her, I shouldn't say that, the way they put a dampener on her is making her a kid, like starting her off as a kid rather than having her age like clones age. Also the nomenclature of her, like how they chose the name Omega, is interesting to me because that makes me think she was the final clone, at least the final clone to be made with defection. And it's very slightly revealed that she is. I think Lama Sue or one of the other Kaminoans mentions there's five, and then Hunter points out, well, who's the fifth? Because there's the four of us, but Echo's not a defected clone. He's a reg who got like blown up and turned into a cyborg with a dumbass hand.
Wow.
Definitely could be
better. So you've started the swearing in this one too.
Well, it was gonna be me anyway. I think Omega has the Force, and I think that's gonna be her thing. I think this show is taking a alarmingly similar track to The Mandalorian, which is another reason why I kind of am on the fence about it. But I don't mind Omega. I actually think she's cool. When she shot Tech's gun out of his hand, I know a lot of people probably rolled their eyes at that, but I thought that was a good sign because it shows she's not going to be helpless the entire show. Like, if she can stand her own and kind of run with the Bad Batch and at least contribute, that makes her such a better protagonist than someone who's just like, oh boy, I'm pooing and peeping myself all at once. You know what I mean?
Interesting.
Yeah.
Because we've definitely had that. We've definitely had, like, Ahsoka for the first season.
Annoying.
Was annoying and couldn't do anything. She, like, kept screwing stuff up. And everything was like, well, you know, Snips, That's just learning, you know? That's just how it is. And then Obi-Wan would be like, your master is right. I'm going to go have sex with the Duchess.
Whoa.
And then he does that. Yeah, he said that. Remember? Clone Wars Episode 2, Season 3.
Lies.
Interesting takes.
So, anyways, let's get into the discussion of the episode quality. This episode I felt was too long. I'd give it a 7 out of 10. Straight up sevens.
I feel like a 7's fair. It didn't blow me out of the water. I thought it was a cool episode, nonetheless. But I think a 7 is fair. I don't think it was horrible, and I don't think it was great.
I'll give it an 8. Only because I don't really see no problem with the time. The time was cool. An hour was straight. I kind of was hoping this episode was going to be an hour or two. But I really just feel like, I don't know, I felt really satisfied with how they showed, like, Order 66 going into effect. Like, I really enjoyed that.
Oh, no, I love that. Like I said.
That was kind of most of the episode, so.
No, it wasn't. Okay, so let me be clear. I don't know if this was in this recording or not, because I'm kind of sleepy. But the intro to the show was awesome and got me really hyped for the rest of the hour. But the second they went back to Kamino and all that momentum just died, I was like, oh, never mind.
See, I felt like I was just interested in how that played out at the factory, too. And, like, we never got to see that perspective of things. So I was just invested just off of the fact that we got to see a whole new perspective of Order 66.
That's fair. But I like how how mean the fucking clones are.
Right? Assholes.
They're dicks. Just, like, so mean.
Get to your train.
So 7, 7, 8, pretty straight up scores there. Also, I will tell you right now, this episode would have had a 7.5 if the prison break was a little more cool. That was an underwhelming ass prison break.
Very true.
Answer the Omega falls break. On the guys. Yay.
I like to think she did it on purpose. Like, she saw that they were there and she banged on it, so she fell on them. I don't think that's what happened, but that's what I like to think what happened. Also, the idea of, we can just punch a wall and we'll get out. What? Come on.
Wrecker.
That was so dumb. It was just like, punch the wall. What?
Yes.
I swear to God, so far Bad Batch is like watching a D&D party play. Like,
how are you? A bad thing?
Not totally, because sometimes there's beats where I'm like, that is also how I'd try to solve this problem. But also, punching a wall to get out of there is not... it's not exactly clever writing. All right. Episode 2, let's get into it. Cut and Run, this one's called. Episode 1 was called Aftermath, and I'm sure you can put that together. Episode 2, Cut and Run, it features Cut Lock Swan? Luke Swan? Cut from the episode The Deserter. I like this episode more than I like the other episode. I'll say that straight up. I've heard a lot of people not like this episode very much as compared to the first one. I thought this took a lot of the empty air and dead space out of the first episode and turned it into some pretty decent character growth for Hunter. Hunter, who is now my favorite member of the Bad Batch, he's kind of becoming the Din Djarin of this series. Like, his relationship with Omega, and again, I still like Omega after this episode, and I know a lot of other people might feel differently after episode 2, but I still think she's fine. This sort of space dad trope we're getting, is it works right now, but if they continue to force it throughout the series, I'm going to have some gripes with it. Because right now, the story beats we're getting are really similar to The Mandalorian.
Very,
like, I don't know if it was like a, oh, that was successful, let's run it back with clones, or it was like an accident and they didn't really realize how similar it was till they were getting to like storyboarding, and probably somebody was like, don't you think this is a little similar to The Mandalorian, and Dave Filoni was like, oh geez. But the space dad trope is kind of weighing on me. That being said, I wonder if we get Mandalorians in this show. We know how much Filoni loves them. We know how much he loves putting them into different aspects of his media. So I'm wondering about that. So my biggest thing, I wrote Space Dad three times in my notes. My biggest thing is the Empire is freaking scary. Like the whole idea of, okay, well now every person needs to be registered in the galaxy. Countrywide, that's like a thing that happens. You get like a social security number and, you know, you have an ID, so on and so forth. But like they don't, they're not an oppressive galactic force that is actively trying to not have aliens, which is kind of what the Empire is about. So the Empire is scary, and I think we need to stop fucking praising them. I'm so weirded out by people who are like, not either of you, but there are some people out there that
I was like, hold up.
Like
the, I was very confused.
The people who are like, I'm sure you've seen them on like Instagram. The people who are like, the Empire did nothing wrong. Like the Empire is like, if you really think about it, the Empire are the good guys in Star Wars. People like that. It's like,
I try not to go to those dark spaces of the internet where they say stupid shit like that.
They're like so ridiculous because it's like, really? Those are the good guys for you? Especially that scene where that hologram pops up. And it's like, the war is over. Peace and justice will be instilled into the First Galactic Empire. And it's that weird fella. I don't know how to explain it. I think his name is Vance, is what they're saying on the internet. That's what he was credited as. He's actually the same guy. He plays Charles from Red Dead Redemption 2, if you're into those games. But... yeah, it was just a really interesting... it's an interesting narrative that the fans try to put out there. It's a little creepy to be okay with them. So, in general, though, apart from Cut being back, and apart from a Rex name drop, this was a pretty unremarkable episode, no?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anything really... set this off. I mean, we get, oh, Omega's gonna stay with the team. We didn't get any more of our buddy Crosshair. There was the Rex name drop, and it was cool to see Cut. But unless I'm forgetting something, there wasn't anything that really you're like, oh shoot, you know, this is really big. There's nothing like a really surprising moment to me, at least.
I mean, I feel like this episode's work to set the status quo of like the conditions that they're going to be working under. Like now they're going to, throughout this whole show, they're going to be traveling to planets where they got to be low key, where they're like, I feel like this was really like an episode to let people know like what the universe is going to be like throughout the series. Like this is like the conditions that they're going with. Like in Rebels, we're put into a situation where we're like, we know what conditions they're working under, where the Empire is fully spreaded and like they're everywhere they go. So this was kind of just to set the status quo, I feel like, before it gets into the rest of the show.
Yeah, there was some like nuance to how they introduced how domineering the Empire was, and how they got to be so domineering so quickly. And I found that to be interesting as well. But yeah, hearing you say that now makes a little more sense to me. But either way, this episode got a slightly higher rating than our premiere. I gave this one a 7.3 out of 10. Just a little bump up. So we're edging closer to a C instead of a C.
We're doing 0.3s.
Well, because like I'm thinking.
We're using tenths now.
I'm thinking the division between a C minus and a C straight up. So if I were a Fantano, would I give this what, a slight 7?
I would give it a 7. I would give it a 7. I don't know. It just, like, I get what it was doing, but, like, I just wasn't, like, as entertained, per se.
Yeah, I think Omari described that perfectly. He brought a good point about setting up what the conditions are going to be like for our favorite group of clones. Bennett loves clones. But, yeah, I mean, it wasn't like, whoa, this episode was so cool, guys. So yeah, I think 7's a good number.
So yeah, and like I think I don't know how excited I am for the rest of the season.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, just because, like,
you're
I don't know
negative.
How
negative.
No, I'm not. I promise I'm not. I promise. Because I didn't really necessarily care for the first episode of Falcon the Winter Soldier either. And then the rest of that show was, like, amazing. So this one just, it gives me a weird vibe, you know? I don't know how to explain it, but, like, I just don't know how sustainable my emotional connection to any of these characters are going to be. Like, they got to throw me for a loop at some point so I get reinterested in the concept. Because right now the concept itself is, like, a 5 out of 10 for me. Mm-hmm. And the reason I keep getting hooked back in is because of how pretty the show is. Because I will admit, it's a
good-looking matter.
Huh?
It's about what's on the outside and not on the inside?
Bennett's just here for the
when it comes to animated television, absolutely.
Oh, okay.
You can give me the worst anime of all time, but if the fight scenes look, like, really good, they'll probably get me for the whole show. I'll probably watch all of it.
See, for me, I'm intrigued based off of, I don't know what's to come next. Like, I don't know where this story's going to go. Like, I literally don't know what they're going to do in the next episode.
That's true. And I think the ambiguity of the show's future, aside from the fact that we know, like, eventually some of them are going to die, just because, I mean, you got to keep the drama up somehow. And in Star Wars, the way you do that is by killing off somebody. I don't know what's going to go on. And I don't really know who we're going to see next, because Cut was kind of a surprise to me.
Question mark?
I know. Ahsoka's, I'm pretty sure, going to end up having her grubby little fingers in every show.
Wow, grubby.
Right?
It's a figure of speech.
I'm just poking.
Sure it is.
But I
you use a lot meaner words for a wrecker, I bet.
Yeah. Stupid-ass, badly written hands.
Wow.
What I'd say there. I really don't like Wrecker, you guys. Holy shit. Whenever he opens his mouth, I'm like, please someone...
like, mutes the TV.
Please someone kill his character off. I cannot deal with him. Like, I don't know why it is. He's just...
Just for that, I hope he's the one that draws you into. He somehow gets redeemed in Bennett's eyes and he becomes a lot
okay,
more...
I will say...
I will give you that.
When he got his bunny back, it was really cute.
Yeah,
or whatever. I was a fan of that scene because I like when these clones are humanized, because that's when they're cool characters. But when they're just soldiers, it's like really exciting when they're fighting. But then Hunter's like, we don't follow orders. Why does it matter now? It's like, who gives a shit? I don't give a
shit.
And
then Chrysler's like, good soldiers follow orders.
Good soldiers follow orders. It's like, also,
that was really good. Let's pause. Let's acknowledge that. That was really good.
I cannot get over the fact that this is one guy sitting in a studio voicing like 5 different characters at once.
In this episode, at least. In the whole Clone Wars, he's like...
Oh, and he voices...
He's 75% of that show.
And he but, so in this episode, he was 6 characters at once. But, I mean, like, the Bad Batch, they don't all talk the same. Like, Rex, Cody, and all these other guys kind of talk the same. But the Bad Batch... Baker. They all talk very distinctly. Like, his vocal range is, oh my god, it's so good. It is, like, hilariously good. I think Wrecker has a good voice, even though he's a dumb character. Like, I like him. I like his voice for Wrecker. I like his voice for Crosshair a lot, too. Echo sounds like a normal clone, and that's fine, but...
Tech's lame.
Tech is pretty lame. I will admit that.
Tech's pretty much the stereotypical brain of the group.
He also kind of looks like Elton John. Just gonna throw that out. But overall, I think the technical aspects of the show are so spot on. Like, they've really nailed the formula of the voice acting, the visuals, the sound, the songs are great. The Bad Batch theme is awesome. It reminds me a lot of Captain America, the original movie, the first one from 2011. Really enjoy that theme. And I really like Tarkin's theme.
So you know what this sounds like, Omari? It sounds like, with the exception to the actual clone troopers in this show, Bennett enjoys the show.
Right?
The animation, the soundtrack, the voices.
I like Cut. I like Omega. She's a clone.
Interesting, Bennett.
I like...
Keep tabs on this. I'll tell D. Bradley Baker you don't like his clones.
I like Echo.
You said his hand was stupid.
His hand is stupid.
No, his hand is very stupid. It's very stupid. But then again, it's like it's a clone. Would they really give him the same resources they gave?
Yeah, they're not. They're not gonna whip out this like, nice robotic arm for a clone.
But he, I don't think it was the Republic that fixed him.
Still, you know,
wait, that might have been given. That might have been put on him when he was kidnapped.
Yeah. Why wouldn't they give him a more dangerous hand?
Oh, okay. Now I see the point. Okay.
Even like a razor claw would be cool.
He's a clone. They don't care. He's a regular clone too after that.
That's true. So in just in general, I think my big questions are who's going to make it out alive? And what's Omega's purpose? Why was she made? Because it's not just like she was made because Lamassu was lonely. She's got a purpose. And I don't know what it is. I think it might be Force, but I don't really want it to be. As much as
That would just be too cliche for Star Wars.
Too Mandalorian, too...
Just Star Wars in general. It's like, oh.
Yeah.
What's your importance to this show? You have nothing else. Oh, I have the Force. Whoa!
At Ezra for the first two seasons of Rebels.
What's your importance? Well, you see.
Everyone else on that show is so much cooler than him, and they're like, well, what do you do? And he's like, I shoot gun. And then like, oh, by the way, this kid also has the Force.
I shoot gun.
And everyone else can shoot a gun better than him, too. So,
but he has lightsaber gun.
He has a lightsaber gun. They learn he's got some Force in him, and Kanan's like, it looks like we're Jedi pals. And then he can't see no more. I am enjoying watching this show because it's Star Wars and it gives me something to watch that is Star Wars. But, and I think it's unfair to put this up against The Mandalorian, so I'm not going to. But just putting it up against Clone Wars, I don't know if this is of the same quality as some of the later seasons.
Well, to be fair, some of the later seasons. The last season that Bennett hasn't seen is truly godsend. So, you know.
I need to watch it.
And we're only two episodes in, to be fair, now.
I know. And that's why I'm being really careful to say I don't like the show. Because there's honestly not enough to go off.
You're like on the edge. You're like, I'm
teetering on the edge of not enjoying tuning in. And I will tune in for the rest of the season and give it all a good whirl. Because that is my due diligence as your podcast baccalaureate. That's not the right word. Podcast person. Podcaster at large. You know what?
You're like the main host of this one. You do most of the talking here. So
I should probably watch the freaking show.
Maybe.
And my last biggest question is, are we going to see another Jedi?
Ooh.
A lot of rumors of some surviving Jedi out there.
Really? For this show?
No, just in general.
Okay. And I was like, wait, I haven't seen anything.
And I'm wondering who that will be. Because I feel like we'll get a Jedi. I 26 episodes is enough time to give us a Jedi for a little bit and take it away. Is it going to be Caleb Doom again? I don't mind that.
We need a Jedi in this show.
Yes.
We do.
I think so. They gotta have a moment where Clone Force 99 can have a brush with the Jedi to make them be like, there's still Jedi out there. Blah. I think that's an important story point to see how they react to that stimulus. Because a lot of what's been going on so far is them trying to adapt to a new world And I feel like part of that world is that there's no Jedi, but to kind of throw them for a loop, and in a way throw the viewers for a loop, would be introduce the fact that there are still Jedi out there. They're just few and far between.
These Jedi that far between have little time before they get hunted down by Vader.
Right? Like, most of them... How quickly does that happen after sort of...
Put Cal Kestis in! Put Cal Kestis!
Shut up. If they put Cal Kestis in this show, I would be upset.
When does Vader start hunting the Jedi? Pretty soon after Order 66, within the year.
Okay, so will we see Vader in this show?
I think we will see Vader in this show. I do think we'll see Vader. I don't know if we'll get a Vader fight with the whole batch, which would actually be kind of cool if he killed one of them. Just throwing
that.
You just want them to die. I will say,
no, listen, I'm kind of the only person I want to die is Hunter, because I think it'd be really emotionally impactful.
You want Wrecker to die. Come on.
That's not to say I want him to die because I don't like him. I'm coming around on Hunter. And you know what? If the show puts attention into each member of the Bad Batch in the next four episodes, if they put that amount of attention into each member of the Bad Batch, I will probably enjoy them.
If we get a tech episode, I'm going to be so fucking upset. What is there? Oh, tech's day. We're going to code a starship or something.
Dual wields pistols. That's pretty cool.
Very cool.
That's fair enough. He and Rhett. Why? Why does Tech have dual-wield pistols like Rex? How does that even out? What's the deal there?
It's a
special. When you think about it, they're all at base level physically capable as any other clone, which is the crazy part. And then they just have one part that's slightly above average.
Yeah. That I like when they explain that a little deeper. Because, like, I feel like when they introduce them to Clone Wars, from what I understand, remember that I haven't really watched season 7. I've watched clips of when the Bad Batch get introduced. They're not three-dimensional characters at that point. They're very one-dimensional.
Yeah.
They're in the Clone Wars. Except for Echo, because everybody was like clenching their buttholes waiting for Echo to come back. Don't look at me like that, Chuck. You know everybody was.
I kind of forgot about Echo.
Everybody was like, when's Echo coming back? And then he came back in the Bad Batch episode, and they're like,
why does he look like that? What's wrong with Echo?
He looks so gross without his mask.
Wow, Bennett's superficial.
It's an animated show. There's not much else to go on. I'm not gonna be like, God, freaking Pedro Pascal looks so gross when he takes off his helmet. That'd be a fat lie.
I don't know, Pedro Pascal looking kind of.
Okay, he looks beautiful. I won't lie. Look at the man with that mustache. Anyways, I just don't think Echo's a fun character to look at. I like him. He's my second favorite Bad Batch
member. He looks like SpongeBob when he got the suds.
Yeah, he sure does, doesn't he? Look at him. They got to put him in a scarf and a beanie.
He got cold.
I got the suds. Yeah, I don't like him very much. Should we do a week-by-week power ranking of the Bad Batch members?
You know you're going to have a certain guy last every week.
All right. Here's my power rankings based off of how much I like them. Number one, Hunter. Number two, Echo. Number three, Crosshair. Number four, Tech. Number five, Wrecker.
Yep.
All right. Omari, your turn.
Crosshair, Hunter, probably Omega.
Omega's not a Bad Batch.
Well, technically.
Oh, okay. So, Crosshair, Hunter, Echo, Tech, Wrecker. I also don't like Wrecker. It's just like, excuse me, just not to the level that Bennett doesn't. Like, Bennett's kind of weird.
I have a weird dislike for him.
But yeah, you have like a weird dislike. Like, yeah, he'd be talking. I just can kind of be like annoyed, but like, it'd be whatever. You're really out here like, he needs to die.
Frustrated.
Yeah, Bennett, I think in the first recording, like, I actually hoped he died when he got shot. I was like,
fuck.
When he gets shot by Crosshair and he gets put down for a second.
Bennett was like, I was actually hoping that he was dead, but you see, it was like, oh.
But he got up anyways, so shucks. All right, Chuck, let's hear your power ranking.
All right. On my nice little notepad. I have to admit, Hunter's got to be at one for the moment. Basically, he's like generic Rambo. We're going to put the best, the guy who could beat everybody else up. We're going to put Wrecker at two because he's my sweet angel for now. He suplexed a droid. That was pretty fucking cool.
That was cool. Okay.
Crosshair's at three because I'm interested to see how he continues. Echo's at four. Suds boy. Tech's boring. Tech's at five. Sorry, Tech. Tech boring.
Tech is boring.
I mean, I'm wondering at some point we might see more of Tech, where they give him more of a spine or something.
Oh, God, you know what? Maybe he dies, now that I think about it. Maybe he has to blow something up, and he's the one who has to stay behind.
He's going to be like, my calculations say this is like, the only way.
It seems that if we blow this up, one person will have to wait behind. And they'll be like, I'll do it. And he's like, no, I'm the only one who can detonate the bomb.
It'll be something like that.
And then he'll say, I thought it was obvious. And they'll be like, oh, Tech. And then he'll die. I mean, that could die. Are we getting a Rogue One where they're just all going to die except for
Omega? I feel like I think Omega's going to be the last one to make it. And I feel like that's just how it's going to play out. Because then they set up a character. Like, I feel like Omega's going to be somebody who's brought up in future Star Wars stuff we're going to see. Like, maybe we'll see her in the next version of, like, the next season of The Mandalorian or something like that, or maybe in the Ahsoka show. Because they introduced her young as a purpose, probably for the story, but also for, like, future things, too, in my mind. It's like, okay,
how off-base would it be that Omega... Did we ever see... Okay, hold on, I gotta look something up. Did we ever see...
Omega.
Ezra's mom?
I don't know.
Oh, never mind.
Yeah, we did. We did. We didn't see Ezra's mom and dad. We see video recordings.
Oh, but her eyes are purple and Omega's are not. I was like,
could that be our big connection?
No.
I don't think that timeline works out either. No. I feel like she's connected to the greater universe at some point. I'm interested to see what Omega's role is. We don't really have a lot of news this week. Outside of comic book news, and if you want comic book news,
please, please, please listen to Untitled Comic Podcast. It doesn't seem like anyone wants to. Show us some love over there, please.
I'd appreciate it. It seems like we're begging for listeners on that one, and maybe we are. And besides, Omari will be back on that episode next week, and we'll be talking about the entirety of Captain America and the Winter Soldier. Star Wars news is slim pickings for now.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I was like, what do we have to look forward to news related?
We got the rest of Bad Batch going, and then we have another hefty break until I think we get Visions during the summer.
And we have any information on Visions?
We have no information on Visions.
Like, we're going into that where it looks like we're going into a tunnel blind.
It's quite like, literally, it's just like whatever they put out. I guess we're gonna watch and figure it out as we go. I think that's all I have for this episode. So Omari, hit us with that sweet, sweet outro. Short episode this week.
And this has been another episode of I Have a Bad Feeling About This. I'm your host, Omari Salisbury.
Joined by your number one clone lover, Charles Hammaker.
And joined by your number one Wrecker hater, Bennett Buckholz. We'll see you all next week.
In a galaxy far, far away.
You know what? I like that. That's good. I think we've done that before. Let's keep it.
All right.